All right, welcome everyone. This is Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House Christian Fellowship. We are in our series, The Benefits of Salvation. The message today is Effectual Calling, The Divine Act of God, Part 1. It is February 6, 2022, and I am Dr. Mary Craig. So let's begin with prayer. Father God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the salvation work of Jesus Christ. We thank you for his life of radical obedience, perfect, personal, perpetual obedience. We thank you, Lord, that he lived a life that you required, and he paid the penalty and died the death that divine justice requires in our behalf. We thank you, Lord, that he gave himself as an offering, as the offering for sin, never needing to be repeated, a once-for-all-time offering. We thank you, Lord, that for all that is better about the new covenant in Jesus Christ today, and we ask that your Holy Spirit come. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus rose from the dead and he sits at the right hand of the Almighty, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. We ask now that the Holy Spirit come as a spirit of truth to guide us into the truth of your word, to come as the spirit of wisdom and revelation, to reveal Jesus Christ to us, Lord, and to give us wisdom that we might walk in wisdom and in truth. So we give you the glory, and we ask to glorify you in this message and in our thoughts. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so salvation, the means by which one gets back to the Father, transforms a life. It comes to us from the very heart of the living and true God. God chooses from before the foundation of the world to initiate the means by which a person, totally in the dark, totally unable, dead in trespasses and sins, is the subject of God's grace. Such grace flows from a love beyond our finite understanding. So we are known before and before the foundation of the world. The application of salvation by the Holy Spirit begins with God the Father's irresistible call or summons to the elect sinner. This call is normally issued in and by the proclamation of the gospel, along with a call to enter into fellowship with Jesus Christ. The gospel call goes out. The word of God is not chained. The Spirit of Christ works by and with that call, quickening and regenerating the spiritually dead elect sinner. This born anew, born out of God experience, born again work of the power of God enables one to repent of sin, to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and to rest upon Christ alone for salvation, for eternal life in Christ. The moment one repents and believes in Christ, God forgives the person of all sin and declares the person righteous in his sight, inasmuch as the person is then clothed with the righteousness of Christ and forgiven because of the work of Christ on behalf of those for whom Christ died. The person is defined as sanctified and adopted into God's family. The sinner, now born anew, or born again, or born out of God, and a true believer, begins to experience a lifelong process of progressive sanctification. Throughout this process, he or she perseveres in holiness, through the power of the Holy Spirit. The end and goal of this entire series of acts and processes is the state of glorification, into which state the person is finally brought in the eschaton or the end times, the consummation of the covenant, at the return of Christ. At the point of glorification, the person will be fully conformed to the image of the Son of God, and Christ will then be in the highest sense possible the firstborn among many brethren. And that's kind of a summary from Dr. Raymond and his systematic theology. The written view, the written of this has a bibliography with the reference books. Okay. With effectual calling in particular, we have a divine act of God. This is an act of God, not a God in us or a person, but an act of God. All and only those whom God has foreknown and predestinated unto life is God pleased to call effectually in his appointed and accepted time, in God's appointed and accepted time. God effectually calls by his word and spirit out of that state or estate of sin and death. We are by nature children of wrath, and by God's effectual calling, we are called to grace and salvation by Jesus Christ. Jesus enlightens the elect sinner's mind spiritually to understand the things of God, taking away the heart of stone and giving a heart of flesh. The person's will, and this is important because everybody's running around talking about, oh, well, I have free will, I have free will. Okay, and I choose and blah, 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 and I. The person's will follows the new heart given. I will give you a new heart, follows a new heart now changed and renewed. By God's almighty power, God determines the person to that which is good. It's by God's will, in other words. Irresistibly and effectually, the Holy Spirit draws the person to Jesus Christ. The person comes most freely, being made willing by God's grace. Being made willing by God's grace. So, for people who are not saved, and since we don't know who's elect and who's not, instead of praying that they choose and make the decision and trying to talk them into some decision, or we'll just say the prayer, that's all you need to do, and stuff like that, we pray for the heart, or deep inside where a person lives, God changes the heart, and then the person responds with a new heart given by God, a new heart. He changes the heart, and then the person is going to hear the gospel or maybe remember the gospel someone said to them, and they're going to respond. They're going to respond and come, as some a lot of people say, come to Christ. This is also important. A person is altogether passive in this. This effectual call is of God's free and special grace alone. It's by grace alone, not from anything at all foreseen in the person. Only when quickened and renewed by the Holy Spirit is the person enabled to answer the call and to embrace the grace offered and conveyed in it. And salvation is all of God. Not, oh, I was so smart, you know, even though I was completely dead and spiritually dead and had no ability and there's nothing good dwelling in me, that anything in me is tainted and, you know, spoiled or whatever. But there's nothing in me. And yet I go and I think that I save myself. No. Now, other people not elected may be called by the ministry of the word and may have some common operations of the Holy Spirit, common non-saving operations of the Holy Spirit. We call this common grace. Yet they never truly come to be born anew or born out of God or born again so as to come unto Christ and therefore are not saved. People not professing Christ cannot and are not saved in any other way whatsoever. No matter if they are diligent to frame their lives according to the light of nature, and no matter how religious they are or profess to be, a person is only truly saved through effectual calling, through regeneration by the Holy Spirit. This means that we cannot save ourselves. Mother Church does not save. We cannot save anyone else. Angels do not save. And there is no other way to be saved. Only Jesus saves. So listen to Titus chapter 3, verses 4 to 8. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind, or humanity, appeared, He saved us, not by the righteous deeds we had done, but according to His mercy, through the washing of new birth or regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, having been justified by His grace, we would become heirs with the hope of eternal life. This saying is trustworthy, and I want you, this is Paul speaking, and I want you to emphasize these things so that those who have believed God will take care to devote themselves to good deeds. These things are excellent and profitable for the people. So, those who have believed God. So, we believe in Jesus. We believe Jesus. And we need to get to the point where we believe what Jesus believes. Believe what Jesus believes. And then we will be aligned or line up with what Jesus believes. God's effectual call is carried out in accordance with His eternal decree. And I am going to read the comment, and then I'm going to have Steve read the scripture. Okay. God's effectual call is carried out in accordance with His eternal decree, meaning that decree was from all eternity. It is heavenly in its origin, holy in its character, irrevocable once issued, and heavenward in its destination. Okay.
And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. Romans 8:28-30. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by Him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:4-9. So do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, his prisoner. Instead, join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but by his own purpose and by the grace he granted us in Christ Jesus before time began, or from all eternity. And now he has revealed his grace through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has abolished death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the gospel. And that's the Apostle Paul. And Second Timothy 1:8-10.
All right. Thank you. By means of effectual calling, and that's effectual with an E, the letter E. By means of effectual calling, God summons the elect sinner, that's 1 Corinthians 1:26-30, into fellowship with Christ, 1 Corinthians 1:9, calls him out of darkness into his marvelous light, 1 Peter 2:9, calls him into his kingdom and glory, 1 Thessalonians 2:12 and 2 Thessalonians 2:14, 1 Peter 5:10, and finally to the end times or eschatological marriage supper of the Lamb, Revelation 19:9, the consummation of the covenant, and to eternal life, 1 Timothy 6:12. But now let's listen some more to the Word of God.
But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power, and his eternal dominion. Amen. And that was 1 Timothy 6:11-16.
All right. By effectual calling, the true believer is summoned or called to freedom from the law. Galatians 5:13. To one hope, Ephesians 4:4. To holiness, 1 Thessalonians 4:7. Romans 1:7. 1 Corinthians 1:2. To follow Christ by enduring suffering for well-doing, 1 Peter 2:21. 1 Peter 3:9. And to peaceful human social relations, 1 Corinthians 7:15, Colossians 3:15. And I'll just say this, because on mission trips, this came to be a thing on suffering for well-doing. There was a sign, let's see, we were on a mission trip. I think we were at Lake Balaton or something, And then I think at that place there was also this statue to Pan, P-A-N, that played the flute and let everybody off, statue to Pan. And then there was a sign just somewhere around there, I forget what, if you did something, maybe, I don't know whether it's go on the grass or do something anyway, and it said, but something, if you did this, you will be punished extra. You will be punished extra. And so that got to be a little thing around MCM. You will be punished extra. So this is enduring suffering for well-doing, and that kind of means, you know, you'll be punished extra. You'll be doing what's right, and you'll be punished for that, for doing what's right. Because most of the time, we're not doing what's right. And in the sanctification process, we're moving from disobedience to obedience. Jesus didn't have that. He was never disobedient. So he moves from obedience to obedience in the things which he suffered or experienced. Obedience to obedience, but not us. So in a way, when we start getting punished extra, as it were, and suffering for doing the right thing, then, you know, don't be surprised. We have kind of moved into that. That just shows some maturity as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so now, you know, we can expect that. That's 1 Peter 2, verse 21, 1 Peter 3, verse 9. Okay, and then let's listen to some more scripture.
Freedom from the law. Christ has fulfilled all righteousness in his obedience even to death on the cross. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Galatians 5:13. Called to one hope, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Ephesians 4, 1-4.
Oh, finish this page and it's this down to here.
Called in holiness and to holiness, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness, 1 Thessalonians 4:7. Called to follow Christ by enduring suffering for well-doing. For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps. 1 Peter 2:20 and 21. Called to peaceful human social relations, therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. and be thankful. Colossians 3, 12 to 15.
Okay, thank you. And now we're just going to close with this. In a nutshell, Christians are exhorted, quote, to walk in a manner suited or suitable or absolutely fitting to the calling by which they were called, Ephesians 4, verse 1. That's kind of it, what we're talking about. So we are called. We are called out of darkness into God's marvelous light, and we are to walk in a manner that is suitable to that, fitting to that, to the calling by which we were called. And so, amen. And the bibliography, I'll just, since this message is short, pretty short. Bibliography is a book by John Murray, Redemption Accomplished and Applied, and Robert L. Raymond, A New Systematic Theology of the Christian Faith, The Shorter Catechism of the Westminster Confession of Faith, question 31, and those things and some other, you know, just putting a lot of stuff together in my own words. Okay, so with that, we're going to stop here because I could have pushed through and done the what's going to be part two, but that was really too long, all of it, and a lot to absorb and think about. So we're going to stop here. And let's close with prayer. Holy Father, we come before you today thanking you for saving us. We were in the dark, but by your acts alone, because of your amazing love and irresistible grace, you turned our hearts, opened our blind eyes, and opened our hearts to desire and to receive Jesus Christ. Oh God, what kind of love is this that forgives us sin when we were yet enemies, when we justly deserved your wrath, the agony of rejected love? Yes, we rejected your love, and yet Christ died for us. Jesus, the just one, died for us, the unjust ones. Forgive us and reveal the glory of the gospel to us. May we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and this great love. May we walk worthy of our calling. Paul said, 1 Thessalonians 5:24, and it is the word of God, faithful is the one who calls you, who also will do it. May the Holy Spirit preserve us that we might persevere and be faithful unto that day of glorification. May we overcome. You, Lord God, will bring it to pass. You will make it happen. This is our faith. This is our trust. In Jesus' name, we bring this to you. Amen. And now if you please stand for the benediction. What? Oh, we never did the offering? Oh. Okay. Well, we're going to do the benediction and close up the recording.
Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.